For Friday, May the 9th, we talk about the new PS Vita's crappier screen, we ask you about the state of next gen, and then we talk a lot about sports friends. Welcome to the 60th Level. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meissman.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. As you heard, Ben was not able to join us tonight, which is unfortunate. However, we soldier on. So, I'd like to take a moment and thank everybody who's listening who donated to our pledged or whatever you call it. The verbs are all messed up on this, you know? Like, on Kickstarter, it's backing, but I don't know if that's like a term of art specific to Kickstarter. You know, I'm not sure. Yeah, as a patron, pledge feels a little NPR-ish. But then again, the whole endeavor is a little bit NPR-ish. I don't know.
I need a new verb. That captures a backing and a pledge in one fell swoop.
Yeah,
just say you Patreon.
Our patrons. I like calling them our patrons because it makes me feel like a Renaissance artist.
Yeah,
you know, out there.
I like that.
Painting a local archduke as in the background of the crucifixion, you know? Like, I like to think that's what we're doing, but with video games, you know?
Oh my god, someone needs to do a video that's like Michelangelo's Kickstarter. For $50, I'll paint you into the background. For, you know, $100, I'll paint you in with whatever facial expression you would like. No, yeah. For $200, I'll paint in whoever you hate in a not pleasant pose.
And if we go, you know, 1.5 times our goal for our stretch goal, we'll add a lady into the picture.
Yeah.
Stretch goal. Okay, so playable female character shouldn't be a stretch goal, maybe. Maybe don't do that.
How many times the funding do they have to get all the Da Vinci Illuminati stuff included?
No, you have to pay to keep all that out of there.
Come on, Pope. I know you got it.
Oh, man. Cough it up.
I don't know. What's his name? That Da Vinci Code guy. You could probably shake him down for some money, though.
I suppose, but I don't even know. It's been so long since I read that. I can't even make good commentary about it, so I will.
I had someone say something that I thought made a lot of sense. They said when I read for pleasure, I am explicitly not reading for retention. So I read a ton of, like, you know, the Harry Potter and the Da Vinci Code and all those kind of really fun novels. Yeah. I couldn't tell you the plot of any of them.
Yeah.
That's because Harry Potter has no plot.
plot's tricky anyway. Like, I don't value plot in things that much. It's neat when something is plotted, but I'd rather, I don't know. But I totally understand that. There are some things that you take on to be challenged, and there are other things that you take on to not be challenged. Not everything, you know, you're not always out there reading Gravity's Rainbow, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just sometimes you're gonna read The Shining over and over again, as I do, you know?
Yeah. It's like... if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean,
yeah, you know.
Why would you need more than one book if the book you have is good?
Yeah. Man,
how are we doing on Patreon? Have we...
Well, as of this moment right now, our listeners and supporters have been so kind as to pledge $391 American dollars per month.
Nice.
Which is huge. Like,
y'all are awesome.
You know, amortized over an entire year, that far surpasses what we made on the Kickstarter last year, you know, assuming everybody sticks around, which we hope you will, you know, and it's only been, you know, as of the time this airs, well, as of the time of this recording, that's more accurate as a point of reference, you know, it's only been like 4 or 5 days, you know, that it's really been out and up there and available. One of our friends and listeners, Tyler, he writes for a site called thebitpulse.com, which is entirely about crowdfunded gaming. They decided to do an article about our network's campaign, which is really cool because it's a great little summary kind of like what we're doing and kind of the state of podcast funding and why this might be something people are into, You know, so I'll put a link to that in the show notes, but it's fantastic. You know, so we are, as of right now, like $9 short of doing Abject Suffering weekly, which is really cool. It'll be good.
Are you happy about this?
Yeah, it's a fun show to record, you know. And
so isn't the point of this show you playing crap games?
Yeah, not nominally, but...
Yeah. I think I learned the definition of the word nominally from hearing you talk about the game, or about the podcast.
Yeah, it's in name only, really, is it about those things. And you know, so that's going to be fun. I'm gonna mess around with the goals a little bit, because I'm... You know, as I do, I'm always playing around with spreadsheets and trying to figure out, okay, so like what, like well, what's the more realistic number, and you know, like what do we do with it? Just everything is so new with Patreon. It's all a bunch of webcomics and ASMR videos, and then here we are, we're doing our thing, and people are coming out in droves, and you know it. I feel weird saying this just because you gave us money, but I love each and every one of you. The support has been fantastic. There has not been a single negative word said, and, you know, I'll do the little pitch here at the beginning, blah, blah, blah. If you want to get in on that action, there are plenty of rewards, you know, not the least of which getting the shows a day early. That is, you know, duckfeed.tv/tipjar, and there's a little Patreon image over on the right, and you get over to there. So I think my next goal is to get us on the front page of Patreon. That would be pretty neat.
Nice.
Yeah. So
also, I'm fairly certain, just, you know, as a way of incentive, I'm pretty certain I remember that Patreons repel Dementors. So.
No.
See, you did comprehend Harry Potter.
Yeah, you held something.
I did retain something.
Yeah.
That something being horrible puns.
Oh, that's
just
great.
From hanging around us. Cool. So, you guys ready to do an episode?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do an episode. So, thanks again, everybody. We've got the usual docket here. Did you put out a multiplayer, Dennis?
I did like 30 seconds ago. So we're gonna do some. we'll see how quickly people respond. We may or may. Oh my God! Hold on.
We already have one.
We already have like three.
It's real time. See this.
You guys are freaking awesome.
Yeah,
oh,
this is people who love us. You know,
it was like, this is literally at the time of this recording. I had put up the question about 30 seconds ago.
Yeah,
because I'm a knucklehead and I had not remembered to do that earlier. So, oh my gosh! All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, I was a bonehead and didn't check to see if you did it. Oh well,
just a bunch of boneheads here.
Yeah,
David's a bonehead for some other reason. And,
just a bunch of knuckleheads from old times.
Yeah,
and then we're gonna round out with so news. We have a little discussion prompt, and then rounding it out with what we've been playing. Exciting one too. Developer sent us a game, and we played it over the weekend. Yeah. So let's go. I don't want to. Let's not hide our lights under a bushel. Let's do it. Let's do it.
The brief.
So it's time for the brief, where we talk about things that are happening in this world vis-a-vis video games and such. Can I lead? Because I got kind of a short one.
Yeah, sure.
It's notable because they said, hey, episodes are coming out every 3 months. But then, nope. But Kentucky Route Zero. Route Zero? Route Zero. Wait, is it Worcester or Wooster? Worcester? It's Route Zero. Kentucky Route Zero. Route 30. Okay, there we go. Yeah, Kentucky Route Zero. Episode 3 just came out today, I think, and the whole series, like the, you know, the season pass is on sale for 25% off until May 13th. So there's still time as of when you're listening to this. At least based on the merits of episodes 1 and 2, I can really recommend it. Mm-hmm. It is the kind of southern magical realism, Twin Peaks kind of adventure game, kind of visual novel with a really distinct visual style, kind of thing. Who knows? Maybe, let's see here. Maybe episode 3 turns into neo-Nazi propaganda, but I hold out hope that it's going to be kind of cool.
Would you say it has elements of Zelda meets Dark Souls? Because that's every freaking game that anyone talks about.
Yeah, specifically, it's every game on Kickstarter is
yeah,
what... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So it's not Zelda meets Dark Souls with a micro wallet and a USB iPhone dongle that attaches and does ASMR for you. It's it is a if only that could be a title. I love the long titles, you guys. Yes. But what am I thinking of here? I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go that cliche. The game kind of defies cliche just a little bit. It's probably a little bit too artsy by half, but sometimes you just have to say this hole. This hole was made for me, and that is exactly what this is. So
that's called marriage.
Oh no, I was referencing a manga.
We are inappropriate on so many different levels here.
A little bit. No, it wasn't even a sexual thing. The Enigma of Amagara Fault. It is one of the first mangas I read, specifically because of references on the Something Awful forum. It is one of the most horrifying things I've ever read. Not in like a Berserk Guro kind of way, but in a like, ooh, this is like really neat social commentary with a sick payoff at the end.
So the good horrifying, not
yeah. The kind of horrifying that tickles your think meats, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah.
And that's marriage.
Oh, come on.
I'm allowed to say those things. I'm happily married.
Oh man, so I'm excited to play this if I ever get time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Neat. How about you guys?
I've got some hardware news.
Okay.
It was already out in Japan, but the Vita Slim is officially coming out in North America, which is cool. So the biggest difference is the LED screen versus the OLED screen, which has
which is a downgrade, right?
It is a downgrade.
Yeah.
It increases your battery life, but just the overall brightness and colors are not there. And I very often will play Vita on the back deck, especially now that it's nice out. And so, being able to crank up that brightness and still see the screen, even though it's, very bright out, is kind of crucial to me being able to enjoy the Vita the way I want to. And right now I've got the OG OLED screen.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just barely bright enough to be passable when you're outside during the day. So if it's any darker, even by a small degree, I would think, that kind of limits your ability to use it while you're out and about. So I'm not sure how many situations that will affect people in, I've got one specific use case, but I really, outside of that, I never have it outside. But it is something to be mindful of.
So I had trouble following you there for a second. So you're saying the OLED screen is darker than the
The OLED screen is brighter and has better color.
Yeah, so better that color is, quality.
Yeah, and that's the old screen. The new screen is dimmer, worse color, but is, I think, technically larger. And it has better battery life.
Don't get me... What was it, 2 weeks ago I went on that rant about display technology?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's this isn't the first time that that Sony's done this either. The third generation PSP, the original one, that it wasn't the PSP Go, but it was after they had slimmed it down, they kind of Trojan horsed in a worse screen as like an upgrade and a redesign. Mm-hmm. And I forget if they made it bigger, but if they're, shucking and jiving and saying, oh yeah, this is totally an upgrade because it's 0.5 inches bigger, get in the game, put it in your face, then that is fucking despicable is what it is.
Yeah. Ugh. There's definitely a playbook that they're pulling from here, although I haven't seen anything trying to spin the new screen as better. It's kind of, hey, this is what lets us get to a better price point for you.
What was the price point?
And I'm trying to find that right now. I want to say, actually, I don't know it off the top of my head, and I don't see it in this article that I'm kind of pulling from, so I'm not even going to speculate. I'll find it elsewhere.
Yeah.
The other big change is that it has internal storage, a gig, which will actually not get you too terribly far if you're downloading big games.
No.
But it's better than zero, which is what the original one had. And if you remember when the original PS Vita came out, that was the big fiasco. They're like, oh my god, it's this powerful handheld at a cheap price. Well, right, that's because there's no memory in it.
Yeah.
Wait, you're saying it only has a gigabyte of memory?
Yeah, looks like.
Yeah.
How can it even run games?
You got me. I mean, maybe it's a gigabyte of storage. I'm not sure if I'm using the technically accurate term.
Hmm. Yeah, storage.
Yeah, okay. Built-in storage. Sorry. Not a dweeb over here, so.
L4 memory, L4 cache, not L3 cache.
I don't even think that applies.
Just agree.
All right. So, it's going to be launched at $199 with the Borderlands 2. It's going to be a bundle. Yeah.
Oh, I remember. Yeah. Okay.
Which I would rather them just sell it at $150. Like, that would be my I think that would be my magic number for a PS Vita is $150.
$150?
Yeah.
We'll get you there. Yeah, I have to imagine there's something about the bundle that kind of lets them get to that price. Like, I think, and again, I don't know their background stuff, but it might be, you know, selling it just alone at $150 is kind of too bitter a pill to swallow. But if they can get a game in there with it, then that makes it more attractive.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure. I don't know. Which, like the screen brightness wouldn't be that big of a deal for me because I never, you know, like, I don't have any occasion to play it outside. Honestly, like my use case, even for my 3DS, which I love, it's a great system, is really only like on my couch or in bed, you know, so that's not something that really matters to me or figures into my life. But I think the principle of the thing would just piss me off so goddamn much. And what's even worse about that is like they're, you know, fucking with the model, which is okay, like. The old one now and forevermore, like the PlayStation 3, is going to be the most expensive, specifically because of this hardware reason, which only nerds like me care about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, not for everyone, but for people who are looking for excuse and maybe like Borderlands, could be good.
Yeah. I don't know. I like it as maybe a stepping stone towards like when I eventually inevitably get a PS or a PS4 for whatever Project Beast is.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait until there's actually more on that before I like dive into it. And actually,
if you go back in my Twitter, I believe I'm on record as saying that I never believed for a second that they weren't working on a Demon's Souls 2. So. You can all send me your I was right points. I'll just collect on those.
Okay, cool. You can cash those in for it. I told you so.
I need to feel superior some way. I generally get very few avenues to do so. So.
Oh man, just make up reasons like I do.
Yeah.
Life rules. David, how about you?
I've got, apparently they're making a, arcade, game out of Left 4 Dead.
Hmm.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I believe it's the same company that made the arcade, Half-Life 2.
I had no idea such a thing even exists.
Yeah. So they made a arcade version of Half-Life 2. I'm not sure if it's the same company. That I guess it's kind of, it's not like play straight through Half-Life 2, it's more kind of like a mashup.
Yeah.
But they don't know, there's been no announcements so far as to whether the Left 4 Dead one will be, you know, a new game, a retelling of the previous games, or similar, just kind of greatest hits.
Hmm.
So, I have to say, if it was a light gun game, I think that'd be kind of cool.
Would that keep the essential Left 4 Deadness?
Yeah, it'd have to still be very teamwork centric.
Yeah.
Right.
Like that's the essence of that game. And I think you could do that with an on-rail shooter. I'm just not sure how you would do it without being the obnoxious "don't hit this teammate" that every light gun game does.
Like Area 51 hitting the members of STARS.
Yeah, like yeah. I actually, now that I think about it, I've never seen that done well. I've never had that pop up, and I've played a lot of light games, but I've never had that pop up and be like, "Oh, good one!" Like,
yeah.
It's always like, "Oh, fuck you."
There's something moving on the screen.
From Area 51 was after the fifth time I shot the dude, and he was still alive. Clearly, that dude's an alien, and so I'm actually doing the right thing by shooting him.
Yeah, then you test his blood with a hot coil of wire.
Greatest horror movie ever.
Yeah, I love that movie. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. Like, just the idea of them doing anything with that. Like, what would be really kind of a shame is if it was just like a straight up twin stick shooter or something. Just like, here's Left 4 Dead, just ported to a place where you have to stand and it's loud and obnoxious and you can't communicate. Like, I don't know if I see it happening.
Besides, they've already done Left 4 Dead as a twin stick shooter. It's called Dead Nation.
Yeah.
That's true.
Multiplayer.
Now it's time for the multiplayer. Dennis, because you came up with and asked the question, I'm going to have you repeat the question in such a form that our listeners, not the people on Facebook, can appreciate.
Yeah, absolutely. I did not follow that one bit, but I understand it has something to do with the question.
You understand it's your turn to talk.
I'm on stage. I do a thing now. Yeah, so none of us have bought a next-gen system yet, so but you know, it's a thing, so we should talk about it. So I thought we'd use you know, everyone else as an excuse too. So I asked if anyone out there has bought a next-gen console, and then what did it take, or if you haven't, what would it take to convince you to take the plunge? Mm-hmm. And notably, I think we alluded to this, but I posted it like super last minute, and everyone on the internet responded, apparently. So everyone is awesome.
Okay, take a number. This is going to be a while. And, yeah. And also, this is what the podcast is about now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So, David, what's Tim say?
Tim says, I've not bought a next-gen console. Are there even any games for those things yet? Wait, I almost forgot that I have a Wii U, but I don't think that counts.
Cheap shots against the Wii U aside, like, I would consider, you know, I'm holding off. I'm probably closer to buying a Wii U than any of the others right now, actually.
Really?
But, you know, basically, if we define next-gen console as something that costs a little bit too much money for me to justify because of lack of games, then, yeah, I would say the Wii U counts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
True, but by that token, then the then a MacBook Pro is a next gen console.
Where does a bunch of cheap shot taking motherfuckers up in this piece?
Burns all around.
Oh man, Steve Jobs, Apple tax him, right? But yeah, I don't know. Are there games? I'm probably gonna get Watch Dogs on my PC because I can run it at max spec, which is pretty cool. That was the one I was waiting for. It's just we're in the leapfrog right now, right? Where everything is on everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although on the plus side, at least, it seems like they're really making an effort to, you know, I know a number of them are, you know, saying either like free upgrades to next gen or like reduced, you know, prices on update in terms of the games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it does seem like at least they're trying to kind of ease that passage.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's really not that much that I can think of. I guess the only one I'd think of is the new Infamous game out.
Yeah, yeah. Second Son looks pretty good, actually.
Yeah, that it's a compelling argument.
Yeah, but like
I don't know if it's as compelling as Titanfall for Xbox One, but
yeah,
it's certainly not a bad argument for next gen.
Like, but it's not a bad argument. Except insofar as, like, you could wait 6 months or 10 months and, like, get the system when there actually is one that's going to compel you to buy the system. God, I hate the word compel. Can we ban that? and, like, Infamous Second Son is going to be literally free. Like, yeah. It'll be part of a holiday bundle, which is sweet. Like, good. Make that happen. Put it out there. You know, if it's a good game, people should play it. But just the stuff, shit's going to plummet in price so fast.
I feel like that's almost a way in which Titanfall is a stronger compilation? Compeller?
It's a stronger motivation to buy. It's a stronger reason.
Notable. It will compel you to buy the penultimate console.
Well, I was saying, in as much as it being multiplayer, you know, I can't necessarily wait, you know, for 2 years down the line when it's free and play it because I have to be playing it when other people are playing it. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to roll in there after all, you know, all that's left is assholes, right?
Right.
Assholes who care way too much.
No, the reputation system takes care of that.
Ugh, I don't even... Yeah, and the Xbox 360 had the zones, right?
What?
Remember that? It had zones, so there was like the underground where anything goes. Where people could shout the N-word with reckless abandon. Then
no,
there was like casual.
That.
Then there was family zone. Then there's just I'm just here to have fun. Like you could declare, you know, what it was, and ostensibly for matchmaking, it was supposed to put you only with people who declared the same affinity.
And so there was the asshole zone. And then there was the zone where all the assholes went to troll other people.
Pretty much, yeah. It's basically, okay, here are bows for the assholes and bows, I'm like, you know, like a Miss Pac-Man bow and special bows for the, you know, and special bows for the, you know, for the casuals. And all that did was let the assholes know who the casuals were. God, did I just say casuals?
Yeah, I was about to say bows for the assholes and stars for the casuals, but I wasn't sure if that was appropriate.
Yeah, well, ooh, no, I think star-bellied sneeches, I would have gone with that as opposed to the Holocaust thing, which you went for. So, so I think that reflects more on you than me that I was doctor
literate.
Well, and I'm more children's literate.
That'll change soon, I'm sure.
Wow, that whole Starbelly Sneeches thing suddenly takes on a different light.
It's a grim, right? Grim, different light, a cold
that,
light.
And what's the story about? He wrote a story about the Cold War.
There's a walkie in my pocket.
No,
you mean the one about the arms race?
Yeah, the arms race.
Yeah, I know which one you mean. Yeah.
What is that? Yeah, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But that is nightmare fuel if I ever saw it.
Yeah. Have you guys ever seen his anti-Japanese propaganda from World War II?
What?
It's a little heartbreaking. Just look it up. Just do Dr. Soy's anti-Japanese propaganda.
Oh man.
Yeah.
That sucks.
I mean, it was the style at the time to draw our enemies as literal monsters in a 300-esque parody. So let's see here. Brian Russell Wade says, like Tim, I have a Wii U, but I haven't purchased either of the others yet. Pretty much the only thing that will convince me to get one of these is an exclusive Souls or From game, From Software. And then he does the whole cough Project Beast cough.
I need more chutzpah in that reading.
Project Beast.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah,
I wonder if they realize the kind of power that they're sitting on right now, like the kind of ravenous community. It's like you could put the next Souls game out on the N-Gage, and it would sell like hotcakes.
Yo, dog, what's up? Side talking. Oh, it's 2002 all over again. Those sweet, sweet, heady salad days. Oh man, yeah. I think when that came out, there was a collective sigh. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dennis, what's Sean say?
If a Wii U or a 3D... Man, more people own the Wii U than I thought. This is a little surprising.
I think that there's a reason to... Like, that there are a couple of really good reasons to own it.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's just that the set of people who listen to our show are kind of enthusiasts enough to the point that they would be more likely to have it, or just that... I mean, I haven't seen the Wii U sales. The last I checked, I thought it was pretty abysmal, but... I don't know, maybe this is just the group for it.
It might even just be like a 3DS kind of thing, because the 3DS was looking pretty grim at the start.
And then it took
off once there were enough Nintendo first party games.
Once everyone got cynical and said, "It's you know what Nintendo has sales stage fright. If everyone's looking, they can't go."
It's performance anxiety. They can't miss if somebody else is in the room.
Yeah. So yeah, he says, if a Wii U or a 3DS counts, then yes, I have. My son just got a 360 so he could play Minecraft while watching Minecraft. something about Yo Dog. I can never get this right. What is it about Minecraft? I mean, one that has just captured the imagination of youths across the nation.
The youths? But,
Yeah, but that is, it's so insanely watchable. I don't get that. I don't think I could watch someone else play Minecraft.
I think it's like any Let's Play where you really have to like the people who are talking over it.
Yeah, like, you're watching the people play. You're not watching necessarily what they play.
Yeah, I think that that is a, that is a universal right there across the board, not just for Minecraft. Now, when I get into my, as I've said, me playing Minecraft is indistinguishable from depression. I should know. but when I get into a Minecraft valley or funk, what happens is I will watch like videos of people like showing instructional stuff about like, here's how you build a hidden bookcase wall. And it's like, yes, please, I want to do that. And then I'll watch it and, you know, recreate it. But the idea of playing Minecraft while watching a Minecraft Let's Play and wearing a Minecraft t-shirt is just a little bit too much. Just sitting there creeping, or sorry, weeping, weeping and creeping.
Yeah. So it's not, and that's what I'm trying to distinguish, is like, I could totally get the how-to video aspect, but this is literally like kind of using Minecraft as a background for someone to do funny stuff, right?
Kinda, yeah.
Like, hey, and I'm gonna...
I don't know. I mean, I know there's some, you know, there's people who make like scenario maps for Minecraft, stuff like that. Like there's some cool stuff like that I've seen.
Yeah.
Don't know. Are you talking like Minecraft, like, was it Machinima or however that's pronounced?
No, I think that what he's talking about is just the preponderance of, and it's mostly young people. It's mostly like this is very much a youth phenomenon, which immediately disqualifies us from talking about
it. So
I think
we're
we're straight up like 26, man. Like people would drink our blood just to be our age, you know, just to have
it's
our
like,
power.
Did you see that news story?
No,
scientists found that actually works.
Huh.
What?
Scientists have found that injecting blood transfusions from young people slows or maybe reduces aging.
Yeah, because they're bloody and old and shit. Like, ain't got that broke-ass blood up in those veins.
There are all sorts of vampire fetishists who are just jumping out of their chairs screaming, "I told you so!"
They don't have enough energy. They're suffering from the ennui that comes from immortality.
Yeah, yeah. We now have to send them all their I was right points.
Oh, man. I hope they don't earn it. I told you so. man. So yeah, but very much like young people. The thing that galls me as somebody who watches the charts and has no fucking earthly idea how iTunes's rating algorithms work. Like,
yeah.
It's just the idea, like, if we wanted to be really cynical, like the there are lots of cynical options that we could take, like, as a network. But if we wanted to be cynical, all we would have to do is make a podcast that had an allusion to Minecraft in the title. I used to have one, but I lost it.
Title or an actual podcast?
No, yeah, a podcast. Recorded 7 episodes and then just lost to time's annals.
Did you never actually publish those?
No. I seriously didn't. I was just joking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because like, for as much as I like Minecraft as a thing, I would never do that. But if we were cynical, I was referring to a title, just because it's written down somewhere, but I write so much stuff down that it's effectively useless for me to do that. But no, just because the entire like top 25 is all Minecraft, like, let's talk about, you know, not to like talk shit about other podcasts, but it's a little galling to me.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's a deep enough game that you can do that.
Like maybe like mods. I could see doing mods and stuff.
Yeah, I think
mods, but I mean once you get into like the digital logic stuff, you know, some of the stuff you can do with that.
This goes to the other thing. In an audio medium, I have trouble seeing that be a thing just because so much of it is visual. It is a game about spatial recognition to a certain extent, right?
Yeah.
About arranging the space around you.
I wonder if it's the same people who are watching the Let's Plays that are listening to the podcast. Because in that case, you've got kid patients on your side, and forget about it. Of course.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like everything's going to happen. They could fix the world if they weren't so self-involved.
You.
And if they wouldn't get off your lawn, right? No,
pretty soon it's going to be me writing articles in the Atlantic. We don't even know what they're called yet. Like we're millennials. Like, you know, we're the entitled ones. Like these other ones, they're like, they just have like crowbars and they're drinking Milk Plus and they're running around shouting, "Get out of the way, old man." And I don't even know. They're Snapchatting pictures of their junk. One of the future presidents of this goddamn country is going to have a picture of his junk or her junk. The first lady president, because it's going to be so far out, will have a Snapchatted picture of her genitals stored away somewhere on like an Indiana Jones in the Raiders of the Lost Ark-esque data center warehouse, never to be found again, but it's going to exist. And that breaks my heart.
Oh, no, go bigger, man. I mean, CNN will do a thorough analysis of each presidential candidate's Snapchat junk pictures.
Yeah.
And it's like, I like where he stands on the issues, but the man does just not photograph well.
Yeah.
Specifically his junk.
Anthony Weiner was a visionary?
Penis okay? Weird balls. Yeah. I don't know. So I forget how we got there.
You know what they say, weird balls make for a weak platform.
So as goes Ohio, so goes their balls. I don't know. Maybe that's Virginia that is. I'm all over the place. There are a few things in this world that make me sadder than like having an idea that's so good that somebody else has probably taken it. Mm-hmm. So in playing.
Talk about Snapchat. Never mind.
No, so that is five music and moves ago, David. So I was driving into work, and because I've been playing so much Rocksmith lately, I was thinking of, you know, band names, like if I did like a punk or a Skid Row-esque like trash metal band, like 80s, you know, singing about cherry pies and whatnot. Mm-hmm. The perfect band name would be The Defendants. Let me let that land.
It's taken.
You know, I would be truly crestfallen if they ever had anything that charted, but what it is, it's a bunch of local bands that are smattered around that have like MySpace pages and shit. But like, that's I don't know, am I wrong? That's like a really good band name.
That's a great band name.
Yeah. I don't know. I figure you could buy it. Man, let's see.
It's
here.
Almost as good as like The Level for a podcast about video games.
I know, like, and that was a small, sweet little victory. It's like nobody's taken this yet.
Not today, internet. Not today.
So let's not get greedy. You know, we got that one. We lost The Defendants.
Yeah. Easy come, easy go. Yeah. Let's see here. So thanks, Sean. Let's go here. This is you, David, isn't it? What's Joseph say?
Joseph says, I've not bought a next-gen console. I built a gaming PC after graduating college and don't see the need as of yet. I can hook it to my TV and use the 360 controller to play. PC games have the potential to look and play better on PC. The only way I can see making the purchase is if there's some game that is released exclusively on a console that particularly grabs me, say Demon's Souls 2.
Yeah.
Yep. Again, they could put that game out on the Ouya or Ouya.
Ouya?
I-O-U? Yeah.
Ouya!
And it would, and again, it would sell like hotcakes.
Wait, so I guess I apparently missed this news time, so Demon's Souls 2, as in the spiritual predecessor to Dark Souls, is getting, like this is like its cousin?
Well, I guarantee we'll be talking about it after E3.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, that's the, it's been a great conference, folks. Thanks for coming. But one more lights down, you know?
Yeah.
Huh. Is it any of the, like, aren't all the original people making Dark Souls now, though?
Nope.
No, most of the team left. Like, the actual director, Miyazaki.
He's working on an unnamed project. Well, now it's named.
Yeah.
We got your number, buddy. We know what you're doing. It's cool. We'll act surprised.
We clocked you.
Yeah.
So Quentin says, give me a game I want, then I'll buy. I'm basically waiting for something I want now for the PS4 before I take the plunge. Until then, I feel I'd have a $400 Netflix machine. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Repeating themes.
Does Netflix even stream in HD?
Yeah. They do 1080 on certain platforms. Like, it'll do 1080 on my Apple TV. Does 1080 on Roku's. I think that is the if you have the downward bandwidth, then it will.
Oh, that, I think that would be the saddest day ever if someone's like, "Yeah, I bought my PS4 because it streams Netflix in 4K."
Buh.
That's nice, dude. We're not friends anymore.
I don't know. We're never gonna have internet good enough to stream in 4K, so don't worry about
no.
that.
No, yeah. We won't. It's literally like Google headquarters is like, man, 4K is awesome.
That's that one city in Kansas. Like, oh, yeah. Everything's got 4K. Yeah.
It's like I'm realizing more and more. It's like a marketing thing to like pick a little random town and like, hey, we're going to do a big thing here and everyone will get behind it because this is Podunk Nowhere. And so there's, you know, I want to do like a postmortem of all these, like, we took over this town and this is now Pringlesville, USA. And this is now Super Internet Town, USA. It's like 20 years later. Where are they now?
Well, the town temporarily changed its name to Google, Kansas, which really only got them a bunch of, you know, Carry On My Wayward Son lyrics. But a couple of steps there.
On the other hand, you could just go to virtually anywhere in Europe where they actually have decent internet.
Yeah, yeah. Or like most other places in the world aside from Australia and certain, like, you know, sub-Saharan African countries. Yeah, that's what am I thinking of here? There was a great story. It might have been when Those Damn Roskits was on hiatus, about this town, like up in like nowhere Alaska, where they have to get everything flown in on bush plane. Mm-hmm. Somebody started a rumor like around the town, and it was like drummed up online that the town, which had like no restaurants, was getting a Taco Bell. Okay, and like people were so excited, and there was like a date set, and just like everyone's like, oh my god, we're gonna get a Taco Bell. We like just there's man, this is going to be a red letter day, just a banner day for us in our in our town, right? And it was a rumor, it wasn't to come true. So what Taco Bell did after hearing about this, you know, heartbroken town, they flew up like a food truck, and basically like for a day it was like, hey, free tacos for the town. Which, like,
that's kind of cool.
That's a pretty good story. Yeah, I like that story, right?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I'll round us out here. Or did I? No.
Yeah, I was gonna. You just read Quentin.
I did, didn't I?
I just told you not to get greedy, man.
Oh, man. So, Dennis, finish us out with Matthew.
Yeah, Matthew, bringing us to a nice even divisible by three number, says, I'll be the first to bravely... I'm obsessed with symmetry. I care about that sort of thing. I'll be the first to bravely answer yes. I'll be honest. There's no games that convince me, and I totally understand waiting if price is a concern. But I did it for the young boy I was who would have loved to have a console at release because he was so impatient. Full disclosure, this was a one-time thing. I won't buy another console at release again.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
That actually really, really does.
Well, I mean, if you own that's the reason that you're getting it, cool. Just don't be in denial.
That wasn't one of them, but when, you know, when I first got a job, / had a job, because now I'm a deadbeat, there were several things I did simply because, like, 12-year-old me wanted to do them.
Yeah. No, that's called, like, using discretionary income to make yourself happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do it. Just, like, buy some. Like, everybody should buy something stupid. Not, like, a bunch. Like, don't make buying stupid shit your lifestyle. But, like, you shouldn't feel bad about it. I think what irritates us, or, you know, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I'll speak for myself. Well, like, what irritates me is when it's like, I'm going to buy it so I can have the blah. And it's like, well, no, like, you buy it to have it. Like, don't pretend I'm buying this PS4, you know, so I can get access to Titanfall or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I know I'm an adult because I drive past a UDF every day, yet I do not go in for a malt every day.
Yeah.
Like, you know, once every now, you know, and there's definitely like the, oh my God, I'm going to swing in and get them all. This is awesome. That's a weird thing to hinge my adulthood on. I know.
There's more power in yes than no, but that is not to say there is no power in no. Denying yourself something in order to exercise strength is something that people have been doing throughout history.
But at the same time, I feel like, you know, kind of what Matt's getting into is, on the other hand, just denying yourself something isn't really adulthood either.
True.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, just denying yourself something is privation.
I think it's very self-aware, and it's very, like, I would say the way he articulated it would have been the best argument for me to get a console, even though I didn't wind up doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Is just like, I know that, you know, other people will not get why I like having this thing, and that there's no practical value to it yet. You know, I'm sure the games will come, but it's like, this would literally, it will help make me happy, and I'm not, you know, that's not hinging my happiness on it, but it, like you said, it's using your discretionary income to you know, do something you enjoy, or have something you enjoy.
Buy a Lego Millennium Falcon, like, just, I don't
know.
Just do something you'll advise, like, I don't know. You know, what are you going to do?
Also, for the record, apparently Dennis's sense of adulthood ranges on malts as opposed to, say, being a father in a couple months.
Oh, yeah.
I just said currently, like.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can babies drink malts?
You just gave me a great idea for a blog post.
Can babies drink malt liquor? No, they ought not to. It is a very bad idea
but
to do that.
Can they?
Hey, the wee baby Seamus would disagree.
Oh, Archer. Cool. So thank you, everybody. If you would like to participate in these discussions going forward, pay attention to the Facebook page. That is facebook.com/TheLevelPodcast on Tuesday afternoons or sometimes evenings, thereabouts. And rock on, you guys, for responding so quickly. There are going to be some responses that probably roll in as we record. Probably not going to dip back into any of them unless they're really funny. So if you if your thing isn't read, we're very, very sorry, but it was too late.
If there's a new response that comes out, I'm just going to start reading it out loud, no matter who's talking or what's
happening. Even if it's you talking.
Yeah, I'll interrupt myself. I do that all the time anyway. I just did there. So yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going rogue.
The grind.
Now it's time for the grind, where we talk about the games that we have been playing over the past week or so. Does anybody want something to start, or should we start with the big one, with like the crazy one? What do you guys think? Let's have a huddle right now.
I say let's start with the big one.
Yeah.
Say go for it.
Yeah, let's do that because it's one that we all played. Sometime in the past, like week or so, we got an email from a listener. His name is Noah. And he is one of the developers on a collection of games that is out for the PlayStation 3 and 4 right now, and is going to be out, I think, this week for PC and Mac, called Sports Friends. This is a collection of local multiplayer games that was assembled out of a bunch of games that have kind of been put together and displayed kind of at, you know, the IGF, Indiecade, I think they've shown up at before. Just a bunch of kind of these games that a lot of people have only really gotten a chance to play at these events. And they put together a Kickstarter in order to get the resources together to, like, get it listed on the, you know, on the PlayStation Network store, et cetera, et cetera. This is a game called Sports Friends that has four games inside of it. So he sent us, being a fan of the network, a download code. And I was like, hey, guys, want to come over and play this? So we can talk about it on the show. And you did. And holy crap, we had a really good time.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what game we started with. It would make sense for us to talk them in the order that we tried them, but I can't even remember that.
Yeah.
I believe it was pole fencing?
pole riders.
Yes, yeah, so it's Super Pole Riders, which is a game, I believe it's developed by the Quap Dudes. Which kind of shows up, it shows up a little bit in some of the awkward, funny animations that happen. But holy crap! That aside from JS Joust, that might be my favorite one in the bunch. Actually,
really?
Yeah.
Huh. Mm-hmm. So just to describe what's going on, you you're essentially a pole vaulter. You have a pole, and you, with one stick, control your player's movement. With another stick, you control kind of the rotational angle of the pole. And so you know, there's no jump button. You just swing your pole under you to launch yourself in the air.
Yeah.
And you know, also use it to kind of pull off any maneuver. So
yeah.
You know, it's very easy to lift yourself with it, and the physics of it are definitely off, but you kind of learn them and learn how to manipulate it to where you're you know, you're flying around the stage like some kind of kung fu master.
Yeah, they're off but consistent, and over the course of the night we got substantially better.
And
I guess we should say, and then the point of the game is there's a ball kind of on like a zip line, sort of
like a wire.
Yeah, and you're trying to propel yourself to kick the ball down the wire to your enemy's goal, while they're trying to, you know, kick in the other direction.
Mm-hmm. Almost like a tug of war in reverse.
Right.
Push of war.
Yeah. Good.
Cole, you nailed it. I think this game and really all the games in the bundle hit that sweet spot of you can get noticeably better at them in the first 30 minutes that you're playing.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I know for this one of the big things is, you know, your pole, yes, you can use it to propel yourself, but it also interacts with the other player and with the ball itself.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do a lot of things where you can kind of mess up the other person's actions. So like maybe they'll start to do a jump and you'll like smack them back down, or maybe you'll push them and give them extra velocity so they overshoot where they're trying to go, or you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
There are a bunch of different strategies that you can do, and it's definitely more fun when you have two people on one side. Or, you know, like when you have two people on either side, because you can have somebody who's set up to be kind of a goalie, or, you know, somebody who is going to make a push and wait in case it breaks bad. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like this happens in a, you know, in a bunch of these games. And I think that the collection title is really telling that this is called Sports Friends, because this is like a fictional sport that has that that has that kind of drama of, you know, the back and forth, like when something gets real, real close and there's a last minute save. Like we were, right. You know, like we were, oh, you know, like that specific exclamation, oh, was made several times.
To the point where Cole's like, maybe my neighbors will get mad. Let's try to keep it down.
Yeah.
Like we got into it.
Yeah, we did. It was fantastic. It was funny. Before we decided to start doing one-on-one.
Hold on. I got to cut you off. We got two more responses. So Chris says no in terms of whether or not he got a console. And nothing will really convince me to, because I'm a PC guy and I'm already horrendously behind on past games, and great games are still being released for it. I can't keep up. I'll probably die before I reach the early 2000s of my backlog. And then Truman says, I'm probably late. Yeah, no. To be on the show. But yes, I have bought a PS4. I got it when Infamous came out because I was very fond of the first two games. That's a weird PS4 blind spot for me. There are games I prefer to play on console, and I play a lot of local multiplayer. I don't regret buying it at all. There are plenty of games I'm excited to play, like Batman and Uncharted and whatever gets announced at E3.
Yeah.
All right. See? Got you guys in.
There we go.
So, Cole, you were talking about how everyone really gets into it.
Yes, everyone's really getting into it. We started out because we wanted to do the two-on-two. This game and Barra Barrett Ball have they've got a mode. Actually, no, all of the ones that are controller based have like a controller sharing mode, which is kind of like the controller sharing on the Micro Machines games for N64.
Nice.
You know, where like one person has the D-pad and the left stick, and the other person has the face buttons and the right stick. Mm-hmm. And so I was playing two characters against your guys as one.
Mm-hmm.
And winning.
Yeah, yeah, on the first game before you guys had it figured out.
The first time. And I think, again, that's the whole you can get noticeably better in 30 minutes is the Super Pole Riders we played first, and Cole destroyed us even though it was 2-on-1. And then we came back to it after a little bit, and David and I destroyed him to the point where it's like, okay, now we should start doing 1-on-1 matches.
What might have been fun is if you two were against each other, and I like my left hand was on Dennis's side and my right hand was on David's side.
Playing chess against yourself?
Yep. just coming in whenever I'm needed. I mean, like, it would be this weird approximation of foosball in that case, right? That's funny. Where you can play, you know, like one on two, but it's not really that fair. It requires you to kind of like shift modes in a way that you otherwise would not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, but Super Pole Riders is pretty great. The different arenas have a pretty big impact on that too, because some of them have dips in the middle, some of them have places where your pole can't pick up, where it cannot find purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that was fucking great. I love the art style too. It kind of has like the ridiculous fishing, everything made of like triangular tiles, like texels, yeah. I think they're called, whatever.
Yeah, it's not pixel art, but it's kind of got that vibe and looks very clean and crisp.
Yeah.
I felt like the art style in general was really good, although I kind of preferred some of the Atari art of some of the other ones. But the art style in general was very cool.
Well, let's go on to the next one, the one that we played next, which is Barra Barra Ball.
And this is actually the one that Noah created.
Yes.
AKA Ninja Ball 2000.
Okay, mm-hmm. So is Ninja Ball just a thing that you made up to refer to this as, or is that actually? Okay, cool.
You haven't heard of the professional ninja
sport, but my knowledge is not. Yeah. But granted, they're ninjas, so I wouldn't know if it was.
So this is fantastic because it's like a combination of basketball and Super Smash Brothers with Atari-esque graphics.
Yeah, that's a very
that's actually pretty accurate.
So each you know it's each character has, I think it's 8 jumps maybe.
A limited number. I think it varies depending on which character you are, because there are three. Yeah. They have different mobilities.
Right. So they have different that, you know, you can choose from. I think it was 3 that we saw. I don't know if they're unlockable ones, but I'm guessing not. But, you know, a limited number of jumps. And then you can kind of either punch your enemy, which would cause them to drop the ball and kind of fall for a little bit, or, you know, pick up and throw the ball. And it's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to dunk the ball on your side of the court, essentially. So, you know, every court is over water in one way or another.
Yeah.
And you're trying to dunk the ball on your side versus them dunking the ball on their side.
Mm-hmm. However, kind of the thing that adds to it is that you can fall into the water, say, if you run out of jumps. And if you do, you lose a point.
Yeah.
So there's a certain degree of... You know, almost part of the game can be kind of trying to trick your opponent or, you know, provoke them into overextending themselves.
Hmm. Yeah. Which definitely came into play a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think I won every game I played except one, and my primary strategy was just to know when to do nothing and allow my opponent to kill themselves.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, grasshopper.
And some of the those were some of the most dramatic moments, especially, you know, as you were trying to feel somebody out and like when they were going after the ball, you know, try and save it, because the point doesn't register until, you know, the ball hits the bottom of the level or whatever. So just because it enters the water, so you can go in and, you know, and get it back out. But it's kind of that last minute. Is he going to make it? Is he going to have enough jumps? Oh, again. Yeah. Oh, you know.
Yep.
Right. And there's also,
yes, also,
you know, kind of a fake out thing with that, where it's, you know, just because your opponent, you know, threw it to the other side, that often wasn't actually a risk to you because you could immediately go and get it.
Yeah.
At the same time, if you were, every time they tried to do that, you went over and were expending jumps. Then if they, you know, fake you out and don't actually do it, then you have to go back to land to recover, at which point they actually will, you know, go for the point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's almost kind of a strategy, you know, kind of a game of chicken type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'd be remiss if we didn't call it just how intuitive the kind of heads-up display is.
Yeah.
So there's just kind of a number of orbs floating around your character. And that a number of orbs kind of decreases as you jump. And it's just super easy to see how many jumps you have and how many jumps your opponent has. And it, you know, it doesn't get in the way at all. So that was really natural. And just, it's one of those things that because it's done right, you're pretty unlikely to actually think about it. you know?
Yeah.
So I think this is the place to kind of call it out and give kudos for something done so well.
Yeah, and this this definitely makes me sad that we didn't have a fourth, because I would have loved to have seen kind of the basketball-like dynamics where, like, oh, I've got him, you've got him, you know, let's make sure that nobody gets one over on us. You know, that kind of element. And even more so than Super Pole Riders, Barabara Ball had this, you know, like the level really, really mattered. You know, just in the way that the terrain, you know, favored certain styles of play, and you know, just people dying and getting points scored on them as they figured out, like, oh, I can actually like land down here, and it totally makes more sense to like go after the ball in this court because there is a lower platform that I can get to here than in other ones. Like the court is such a huge part of this, and yes, there is a final destination.
Yeah,
so.
But that's like, to give you an idea, there's one level where you're actually fighting on top of a whale because video games. And then you can go down and, like, go into its mouth and, you know, fight it out there.
Yeah. Yeah, which was kind of like an oh crap moment, because you can't see inside the whale unless you're actually inside the whale. So it kind of, you know, the whale goes transparent. And so it was one of those moments where I was playing you, David, and I thought I had gotten you to expend all your jumps and fall off the edge, and you randomly just like fell into the mouth and we're okay. And I was like, ah, hold on. You know, I had to chase you down there.
Deus Ex Whale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, no. So and also, this is one of the ones that has that Atari kind of feel to it.
Big time.
Even under the color palette.
Yeah, almost like kind of like a Pitfall type of look, maybe.
I'd say roughly anything from the era that had the chunky pixels.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So I really, really enjoyed that. That is Barabara Ball in Sports Friends. But oh man, you guys. Oh wait, did we do? Oh, now I feel bad for not remembering the fourth one because we didn't play too much of it.
Well, it was the. I don't know. This one actually we didn't play much of because unfortunately this one didn't work quite as well without actually four players as the other ones.
Yeah, it does require like straight up four players.
Right,
it was far more one sided if I was playing as two on one. This this game is called blah blah blah. Yeah, Hokra.
Yep.
It's basically it's kind of a top down view, and it's sort of at least maybe this. This is how it struck me. It almost seems like it's kind of an abstraction of every ball sport ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like space hockey or soccer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, you don't score discrete points. You kind of occupy an end zone, if you will, that will gradually kind of, the more time you spend in the zone, the closer you are to completing it. And then once you complete a zone, you win the game.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is that there are, and this is the interesting thing that it was kind of a theme across them, is most sports games really emulate sports by having one set field. And that allows for things to be very fair and even and predictable, you know, at least in the rule set you're working with, where all of these games had multiple different fields, quote unquote, that you could choose from, with of course your final destination kind of standard types, but it allowed for that innovation in a way that your standard sports game wouldn't, which was really cool.
Yeah.
But anyway, the end zones could be in different places. They could all be around the center, or they could all be out at the corners, or you know, always in like some kind of symmetrical layout so that no one team had an advantage. But like you said, it's an emulation of every ball sport, and the passing game, I think, really was what made this one interesting.
Right.
Yeah. So you can charge up your shots, and if you dash into somebody, you can steal the ball from them. So like good team play is like hockey or soccer, where you know somebody tries to get out ahead, and you are zigzagging the ball back and forth. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead.
And I think the other thing was it was relatively easy and kind of inevitable that someone was going to tackle you. So I felt like there's a lot of, you know, almost a soccer type thing where there's a strong thing where part of the strategy was clearing it down the field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or even almost like a, you know, it had a real strong, you know, does a lot of like ricocheting off the walls. So almost even like a pool type of thing in terms of like setting up the ball for future shots.
Yeah, Cole, when you did your best against us, because it was you versus us two, you really kind of played us for fools on those ricochets.
Yeah.
Because I think that clicked for you before it really clicked for us.
Yeah.
And you kind of would send it off, we'd go running, and then we'd just bounce right back past us to you.
What would happen is, like, both of you would be following the one that I was actively controlling.
Yeah.
And so to get myself out of trouble, I would just pass it off, like, in what would be a totally, like, illegal move. Like, it would be icing in hockey or cherry picking or whatever, but just like pass it off in a ricochet that would maybe kind of put it in the one that I was not paying too much attention to, and you could like so it almost became like a matter of trying to fake you guys out and into like trying to guess which one I was paying attention to a little bit.
It ended up being sort of like when you play fetch with a dog and like you either like fake out the throw and it takes off running, or like you throw it and it ricochets and the dog keeps running.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, like in this one, like the moment of drama, because this is like soccer meets King of the Hill, and then not Bobby, but you know, like King of the Hill, like the Halo or first person shooter mode, you know, are those like, oh my gosh, the bar is filling up. Are they in the end zone? Can I steal it? You know, so there were those last minute saves, but you know, that does accumulate. And if it does go away, it takes a little while to go away. So like the, once the tide starts rolling in somebody's direction, it's very easy for them to nudge it back over into win territory. Right.
Yeah. And that's some of the most fun I had was when I had the ball, I was in the end zone, and just crazy like doing a Mario Party style like spin on my left stick to make myself hard to touch.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a little bit off topic, but bring up Mario Party. I feel like this game is sort of, all the games in it are kind of the essence of the bet. You know, our multiplayer, like, was it last week about what's your favorite mini game?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this game could almost, this subtitle could be that one mini game you like.
Yeah, yeah. They're definitely distilled down to their essences.
Yeah. And this one, speaking of distilled, it has the most sparse graphical representation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which, it's fine. Like, it gets a little bit in the way. I kind of wish that the sprites were just a little bit bigger, because it got lost. Like, if our screen was smaller, it probably would have been hard in all the chaos to, like, discern it. But that is something that probably would get better over time.
Yeah, it's mostly a problem when you start. If you can't see the numbers on them, it takes you a second to identify, okay, I'm that guy.
Yeah.
And then it's okay unless you get into a big scrum where everyone's together, and then it's a little confusing.
Yeah.
Although we did have that one game of Paul Ryder, where I spent the entire first half of the game trying to control Dennis's character.
You're like, I get the gimmick of this arena. It's icy. The character's sliding around in ways I didn't intend.
Hell man.
Nope,
which I think that actually was the gimmick. The problem was I wasn't controlling it.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, so that was Hokra in Sports Friends. We had somebody write in saying that, like many video game podcasts, we will talk about a game, like we'll mention the title of it once, and they'll be like listening to it in the absence of the notes, and then be frustrated. And I totally feel that. I try to say the names of the games, like repeat it in a more subtle way, and not call attention to it. But that is why I am resumming every single thing here and dropping it in there. So.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. It is a point well taken, because that is something that gets me to. Let's get to JS Joust, you guys.
Because
this was, oh my gosh.
And let's start out. We didn't have the right equipment to play this.
No, that's no. True. Like I was like heartbroken, because like, okay, we got this game and I'm really, really excited to play, like, to play all these, because I've heard such good stuff about all of them. But like, I don't have a Move controller, because I'm not a person who has a Move controller. And
you're not that person. Yeah. By which I'm not saying to insinuate there's anything wrong with that person. It just is a singular person, the developer of this game. No one else bought it.
Yeah. So I was kind of like, okay, you know, we'll have you guys over. Like, we can play three of the four. And then I forget. Like, David, did you just like pick it at one point just to take a look at it?
Maybe something like that.
Yeah, and we were looking at. I was looking at the options, and you can totally play it with a six axis.
Mm-hmm.
So like it makes sense. So let's describe what JS Joust is. Although
I feel like you need to give the full name to get the effect.
Oh yeah, Johann Sebastian Joust.
Yeah, and I looked up some videos on Sports Friends before I came over, and apart from any explanation of what the game was, you cannot understand it from watching it. Like it made no sense. And I watched I watched a couple different videos. Like, okay, one of these, it's going to click for me. What is actually going on here? Nope. It just makes no sense to watch. But what's really going on, if someone wants to elaborate on it.
Yeah, I'll elaborate on it and say that neither watching it nor hearing about it is going to, because I've heard about it, but it never like sunk in. You just have to do it. And the problem is there's like not very much venue to do it, you know? So it's pretty tough. But the idea is, it's meant to be a game that you play without a screen. And what it is, let's call it a cross between tag and musical chairs. And also, so it's tag, musical chairs, and red light, green light.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you have this controller, either a move controller or a six axis, both of which can sense your motions. When the music is playing slowly, at a very relaxed pace, the sensitivity is very high. And if you move the controller too quickly, either the red the light on your move controller will turn red, or your controller will vibrate if you're using a six axis and you are out of the game. And when the music is playing quickly, then the sensitivity is down and you can move more quickly. The goal
you can still trigger it though.
Yes, you can still trigger it. So like it's not like, all right, the sensitivity is down, I'm just going to huck this at somebody's head and see what's going to happen. right? And
not that we tried that.
Kind of. but that gets into it because it is a very physical game. The goal of it is to be the last person in. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what it becomes is, how do I get these other people to trigger their motion sensor and get out? And that is really the only set of rules that there is. And I was reading articles, you know, from the developers behind the game talking about like, hey, what's the philosophy? And this is something that, Dennis, when we were playing, you kind of, you know, hit on the head, which is kind of the rule of it is you kind of make up your own rules.
Yeah,
like the way that we played it,
gamers go in, one comes out.
Like the way that we played it was like high contact Tai Chi.
Yes.
Yeah. Which it would be interesting. So we're all, you know, we're old friends. We're very comfortable with each other. So I think there was a much lower barrier for what was acceptable. So yeah, we were pushing each other. We were pulling each other. It was very high contact. I'd be interested to see like a group of strangers get together to play this game.
Yeah.
And there were some great highlights. I'm trying to think of a couple. There were several times, you know, where Dennis or someone would try to get someone, you know, to flinch, and in making whatever movement they made, kill themselves.
Yeah.
Not non-reaction was a very in-demand skill for this game.
Yeah. Well, far and away, the thing that knocked most people out was trying to take action to knock somebody else out. So like a valid strategy is just to bait somebody into coming after you, which is what I did, which is like watch you two go into a thing and just stand there and see which one of you turned real quickly to see like what I was doing.
Yeah, well,
although that backfired the time when I was out and simply came up behind you.
Which is dirty pool, man.
I just enjoyed, you know, your response. Why? You had nothing to gain from this. Yeah. Which Dennis replies, some people just want to see the world burn.
Yeah. It applies in so many situations.
Again, kind of making up your own rules. Like, so once your controller goes off, do you have to sit completely out? Like, there's these weird alliances that form across games,
mm-hmm.
Which I could especially see happening if you had four people kind of getting into this 2v2 dynamic.
You can play with it. You can play with up to seven people.
Oh, that'd be chaos. Oh.
Yeah. No, we're going to try and organize that at Epiphio, actually. Nice. So I'll let you know when that happens.
Yeah, dude, let me I mean obviously if it's in the near future I'm going out of town, but that'd be really cool to see in action.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys ever play the game Poison Apple, like in gym when you did dodgeball?
You know, there's probably like another name for it. Can you describe the rule set?
So instead of having two sides, it's literally every man for himself. And you just there's a big bucket of balls that you dump out at the beginning and just spread across the room. Everyone mayhem goes for a ball. You know, and it's dodgeball with no boundaries, no rules. Everyone's trying to get everyone else out. The only trick is when you get hit, you have to sit down where you are, but you're not out of the game. So if a ball rolls close enough to you, you can still pick it up and throw
it. Yeah. So you pick up a turret, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it starts out as complete chaos, every man for himself. And then it very quickly narrows down to maybe, you know, five or six people who are left, and all these alliances form between the turrets and the people who are still in, and, you know, people changing sides. People who just want to watch the world burn, who are trying to like hide a ball. And so you're trying to like keep count of, I know there are 10 balls and I only see nine. Who's got the last one?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be one of the turrets that isn't in my camp.
Yeah.
You know, cause I knew I promised next game I'd be on your team if you didn't hide any balls for me, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very much got that vibe.
For lack of a better word, we had that mechanic in a game that we played. I think it was called Prison Ball or Prisoner Ball.
Yeah.
Which was like that, except there was also like a capture the flag element where if somebody was knocked out or captured, they would be put in a jail at the back, like in the, you know, like right underneath the basketball hoop. Huh. And you could make a run to go grab somebody and drag them back. But if you were knocked out, you had to plop down and you became that.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's the same kind of like starts out every man for themselves. And then mm-hmm. these alliances very fluidly form and dissolve.
I was reading there was an article about this on Polygon from back around the time that it won the IGF, and it won the IGF over like a bunch of other like really, really high profile games too. I can't name which ones,
which
but
is
like,
funny because strictly speaking, this is not even a video game.
Pretty much. Yeah. Like it uses a video game console, but yeah, no, like, but I think that it was exactly that kind of innovation that really drew it in.
Mm-hmm.
there was somebody whose strategy was to immediately at the start to walk as far away from everybody as possible, hide the controller, like put it down, and then go after everybody and start knocking their controller around.
Oh, that's asinine.
Which is a dick move.
Yeah.
We also had we had some variations. The one
well,
game
yeah, I started walking into the kitchen.
Well, yeah, I remember
it,
that.
It was one where I simply started up the fourth player, who didn't exist.
Oh yeah,
controller down.
then... Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, and then proceed to play the game with a extra life.
Yeah.
My favorite though was David, I forget what you were doing, but you had kind of put your hand out to try to, and again, remember that all of this is happening at super slow speed, so it sounds really kinetic and high contact,
yeah.
But it's like all happening underwater, which is just really funny in and of itself.
Yeah. Also remember that this is happening in my living room, which it's a big size living room. Like the actual room itself is, I think, like 13 by 18 or something ridiculous like that.
Mm-hmm.
Except like there's a couch in there and there is a television and there's a chair. Like we moved the table out of the way, but it's a very small amount of space that we're working with.
Yeah. But David had put his hand out to try to get me to flinch. And then I simply grabbed his hand and just pulled him forward.
Yeah. Oh man. One of my strategies that didn't end up being very, successful was to try and put my controller in a place that couldn't be easily accessed from the front and then just quickly invade somebody else's personal space. Like just start walking slowly towards them.
Yeah. Well, that was the interesting thing is it's got an accelerometer, but it can't detect, you know, velocity if you get moving slow enough.
Right.
Right. And so one of the things that I tried as well was just kind of start very quickly walking at someone else, just smoothly enough that it didn't set off my controller, and hope that they would either back into a wall or trip or, you know, panic and move too quickly.
Oh man, yeah. So I think we played far more rounds of that than you would imagine we would. But like the entire collection is great. But like the experience of playing this, like it is something unlike anything I've really experienced outside of a playground or a gym class. You know, mm-hmm. like yeah, it captures that glee so goddamn much.
I also really liked this setup, like. Just the fact that it's playing this classical music for like your background, you know, mm-hmm. the kind of what you're going towards, and this, you know, it's weird, like sort of weird take on like almost the Street Fighter, like Mortal Kombat announcer, except with kind of this baritone voice, you know, Johann Sebastian, joust.
And the art style is pretty good. Like, so there's nothing visual, but if you do have a screen, it can be like the scoreboard. So each character is represented by a different color and by a different instrumentalist. And, you know, they mm-hmm. have, you know, just like three states, essentially, I think. Playing slow, playing fast, and knocked out. So there's like a lutist who, if they, you know, if they're out, their lute will break. And it continues like mm-hmm. that. And it kind of looks like Kate Beaton from Hark a Vagrant meets WarioWare a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so goddamn good.
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned the scoreboard, and I think the most telling thing about the evening across all the games was I had so much fun. I'd do it again in a heartbeat. I have no idea who won the most games.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, what the score was, you know, overall. Like,
There was distinctly, like, we each ended up gravitating towards a specific game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was Mr. Pole Riders.
Yeah, and I generally enjoyed Ninja Ball.
But Barabara, Paul, please.
Yeah.
One of the developers was generous enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, maybe he shouldn't name his... I still can't do it. Wow. Maybe he shouldn't have named his game so hard.
Name your shit right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah, so that's JS Joust or Johann Sebastian Joust. Play it in a gathering of people with a PlayStation 3 and 7 Move controllers near you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every single game in this was just epic.
Yeah, no, it was fantastic. I feel bad, like, if we had been there, it would have been perfect. Like, it would have been just great. And to a certain extent, I feel a little bit of shame, in, you know, like, in saying this next thing, which is I'm happy he's not here tonight because I would have felt really bad doing all of that with him. You know, feeling left out. So, you know.
New Patreon goal. When we hit $10,000 a month, we'll fly Ben out for
for each level. Do you realize how quickly we would burn through that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so that was Sports Friends. It was something that we all played. Who wants to go in with the cleaning up, Dennis? I don't have any aside from the one that you're going to talk about, so I'll just glom onto yours.
Yeah, so I played Rocksmith very briefly while I was over at Cole's house. I brought my bass guitar, so I've messed around on bass guitar for several years. Brought it over, plugged it into Rocksmith, which Cole had been playing. And was an instant believer. So the game, and you've talked about it in past weeks, so I won't belabor the point. It works just as well for bass guitar as it does for regular guitar. And it makes you feel like a freaking rock star. I think, you know, I'm definitely a visual learner. And the thing that amazed me the most is I've always kind of used the crutch of looking down at the fret a lot more than I have to. And that's something that I've always tried to get away from, but have just struggled with. Mm-hmm. And in 5 minutes of playing this game, having the visual cues on screen for me to focus on and still kind of applying the visual parts of my brain to the frets, but just in a different way, broke me of looking down at the fret too often,
yeah.
or the fretboard too often. So that blew my mind, just that this simple change or this simple visual aid was able to break a habit that's been going on for years. Definitely not perfect at it, but it's improved. So that's great. Then I went and bought the game right away. Cole had an extra cable, played it at home. And I think the thing that it does best, other than all the teaching stuff you've talked about, Cole, is help me learn how to play by feel.
Yeah.
like I've begun thinking of the songs I'm learning in these discrete kind of riffs or verses and choruses that just each has its own feel, versus when I was working from a tab sheet, it was always very cerebral.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was thinking in ones and zeros and fives and fours, and it's just a different part of your brain.
Oh, totally.
It feels so much better to be playing by feel, which Rocksmith allows you to do.
Well, you break into this different level, and you know, I'm getting up there on certain songs. Like I just over the course of the past, like right before you guys came over, I bought My God Is the Sun, which is a single. It's Queens of the Stone Age song from their newest album. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh yeah, it's not an especially difficult song, but there are some tricky parts to it. I've never been able to figure it out. Let's give it a shot. But like in each of these songs, you know, like and it assigns a percentage value to your quote unquote mastery of it. But like you feel this point, like where the like there's this tipping point where you go from worrying about which notes you're playing, and you start getting into like intonation, and it's like, does this particular phrase of a solo sound good when I play it? Like you stop mm-hmm. worrying about which notes you're playing, and you worry about how you're playing them. And yeah. that is a huge, huge thing. And that was, you know, that eventually became what got me, you know, like what, like I know when I'm playing a song on acoustic, which is mostly what I play. You know, like okay, so that like that is the point where I've achieved some level of mastery over this, and to feel that on an electric guitar song, and to, you know, have it happen in relatively short order is something fantastic and magical.
Yeah.
Would it be accurate to say it seemed like from watching it, the game made an attempt to encourage that by, you know, kind of giving. I couldn't exactly tell, but it did seem like it gave some feedback as to, like, not just what notes you should be playing, but how you should be playing them. Is that accurate?
Yeah, there's some notation on that. Like, oh, if this note needs to be accented, it will be a little bit bigger, and it will have, like a stroke around it. Mm-hmm. You know, hammer-ons and pull-offs and bends and such. Like, it'll give you that kind of notation. It'll give you feedback on, like, oh, you bent this too far, or, you know, et cetera. But, it eventually becomes playing by ear, which is which is really where you want to get in terms of like playing a song.
Yeah. What I will call out as a weakness, and it's hard to even call it a weakness because it's already doing so much. But one thing it doesn't do is, you know, you're learning the song by playing with the entire band surrounding you, mm-hmm. so you don't in the moment get the feel for if you're playing with that correct intonation.
Yeah.
And again, this might be just for bass guitar, which tends to blend a little bit more. So for one of the songs that I played, you know, I got a really good feel for it and could consistently play it well. And then I went back just out of curiosity and played the part without the rest of the band or anything mm-hmm. like that, just plugged into my amp. And I realized that on one part of it, I was letting a bunch of notes kind of ring over each other.
Yeah.
Where really they were supposed to be distinct. And Rocksmith was registering each of those as, you know, hitting the correct note and giving me 100% on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it did not sound the way it was supposed to. And I kind of had to unlearn the way I was doing it. And it wasn't hard to correct, but it was a correction and something you need to be aware of.
It's like cleaning up sloppiness, right? And so that is a limitation of the engine. So it's looking for, are you hitting the notes we're asking you to hit? And it's not looking for, are you hitting more notes than you should be? So mm-hmm. like in Guitar Hero, if you just straight up like overstrum, it will tell you. However, on this, like you can totally, and like you notice this especially on the rhythm guitar where like it's just checking for the notes in a chord, really. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it can't tell if you're accidentally muting something or letting something ring out, and especially letting stuff sustain too long. Mm-hmm. That is something that I could see like needing a pass, like on an actual amplifier, going back and cleaning up. So it definitely is a limitation, but I think that speaks to kind of a strength of the game and something I'm really starting to appreciate, because the guitar that I'm playing this on, it's like a, it is a Squire Stratocaster. Like, what's the place worse than the Philippines? like in terms of guitar manufacturer, because like right now a Fender Mexican Stratocaster is like one of the best ones you can get, like forget getting a, you know, an American one, because it's going to have Eric fucking Clapton's name written on it. It's going to cost you $5,000. You know, it's like, it's a really, really bad guitar. It's like, you know, Babby's first guitar. But they do tone design on this in such a way that, like, no matter what, it runs like the right effects on it to make it sound a lot like the actual recording. And so, you know, I was demonstrating this with the Pixies' Where Is My Mind, which goes back and forth between an acoustic and then kind of like a distorted, overdriven kind of squealing for the, you know, for the main verse riff. And you're actually like, oh, is that you? It's like, yeah, it's like all me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So their tone design definitely covers up a lot of sins. Maybe too many sins, but a lot of sins.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And that's, I mean, I know people who pay a lot of money to get the amps with all the pre-built, you know, tones in them.
Yeah.
And effects built in. Whereas this just has it, which is really nice.
Totally still doesn't sound like vacuum tubes, though.
Yeah, no. It gives you that nice warmness to it. There's a fullness to the tone. Oh, man. You get some vacuum tubes on vinyl with a monster cable. You know, you're in heaven. You're in heaven town, guys.
Heaven town. Yeah, so that's been a revelation. I'm definitely a convert.
What are you playing it on?
Playing it on Mac.
Playing your Mac? Cool.
Yeah, and that's because that was the fastest place I could get it. And I knew I wouldn't have to deal with all the, you know, micro delays on a HDTV.
Yeah.
Even though we had talked how to do that setup, mm-hmm. I just felt more confident running one cable into my Mac and then one cable to my amp, and that was it.
Just put it in my veins.
Yeah.
which songs have you gravitated towards?
I've gone completely off the recommended list.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so it started out with She's My Cherry Pie.
Yeah.
And I played that once, and it just...
Oh, wait a minute. Super... So you're doing Rocksmith, like, the original one?
No, Rocksmith 2014.
Does that have Cherry Pie on it?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I must have ignored it. Huh.
Yeah, it's... I think I got 2014. I certainly paid for 2014. But it does this really cool Rocksmith recommends where it not only it'll kind of have quests for you and it'll organize the song like, hey, this is an easy song to master. And then this is a song. And I think it's by like, hey, each song is teaching you something different.
Yeah.
So it Cherry Pie has like wide sections that just have no instrumentals other than or no bass guitar. And so it was boring. But I played that once. There was another one. I forget it. Played that once. There was a Bob Dylan song and Every Step You Take by The Police.
Yeah.
And then there was 16 Saltines by Jack White, which already
that's
really
a fun
like.
One.
Yeah. I already really like Jack White songs.
Mm-hmm.
He's just got a very simple and fun musical style. So like I already know Salute Your Solution and a couple others by heart. And this is one I hadn't heard yet.
Mm-hmm.
And just I, you know, I kind of immediately hit that one. I was like, all right, this one's going to 100%. And I've got it something like 98 point whatever right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then one other, I can't remember, but it's really just been Rocksmith recommends.
Yeah. No, I dip out of that and go into like harder ones. And what it defines as more difficult is kind of squirrely on like lead guitar. Because like it says, oh, this has a bunch of chords in it, so it might be too difficult. And no, throw them at me. Like I'm good at that. Say it ain't so. Oh, say it is so. Yeah. I will do that. you know, Last Dance with Mary Jane is a pretty fun one to do because it has a pretty simple solo structure to it.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
so it almost needs like the Dance Dance Revolution, like you know, rating it on different categories.
Maybe a little bit. And I think that it's doing that. Like it keeps, you know, I think that there is something that's keeping track of like Dennis said, oh, this is teaching you bar chords and this is teaching you open chords and here are some hammer-ons and, you know, here is, you know, something where we're going to ask you to hit a chord and then hit a bunch of notes in between that or, you know, like actually pluck out certain things inside of it. Like the Bob Dylan one, Knocking on Heaven's Door, you know.
Yeah. Oh, there
truly
we go.
Bar chords are evil.
They're fun. Once you know like four bar chord shapes, you're set. You can play any song. It's great.
Problem is that once you can play them.
Well, yeah, but like that's like a weekend worth of work.
Yeah. So two kind of housekeeping notes. One confirmed it does have multiplayer.
Oh.
So if I come back over and we plug in, you know, two cords to the same place, we should be able to do it.
That might be something where I come to your place, because yeah. I don't like we're probably going to want to go off the hook on that. So
yeah, sure. And then yeah, too, I was going to say, tell me a couple songs that you like. I'll tell you a couple songs that I like, and then we will learn them and be able to kind of come in prepared.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I haven't spent enough time with it to have a roster yet, but yep. I'm imagining you have a couple you can point me to.
Oh, and that's pretty cool. You can actually like tag favorites. So if you go into like, you can say, "Oh, I want to play for 20 minutes," and then it will just throw you stuff at your from your favorites list.
Oh,
like in
that's
a row.
That is the best.
Yeah.
When I was first learning bass, I wanted to kind of learn a bit about improvising and just kind of finding the right key and chord structure. So I just put my iPod on random and try to play along with whatever came on.
Mm-hmm.
Now I thought that was a really cool idea and a lot of fun just to play random music. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah. I don't know. I love this. This has been a great,
this is going to be the next Dark Souls in terms of longevity of airtime that we give to it.
Well, no, it kind of becomes, it becomes a ritual, right? Like mm-hmm. eventually I'll stop talking about it unless there's some like really good DLC, which is, you know, still coming out at a frequent pace. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, I'm playing it for like a half hour each day, which is what I used to dedicate towards like just practicing guitar. But this gives me that extra motivation. I think my next big purchase is going to be like a Les Paul-esque kind of guitar. Like
the
something
gear
that,
lust begins.
Not even like gear lust. Like I make no errors to, you know, needing to like, oh, if this amp doesn't cost $700, I'm not going to get it. But like anything is going to be better than this Fisher Price bullshit that I have, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I'm super happy. Super happy with this purchase. It is a great, great thing. Cool. Yeah. So, Dennis, you have anything else you're playing? Because like that's literally all I've been playing is those things we've talked about.
I am starting a challenge run. So I beat Dark Souls for the first time. And I know it's designed to be beaten multiple times, so I will refrain from commenting on my ending, even though it's the weakest shit I've ever seen. What the hell? Come on. No, sorry. But then I started a challenge run on a new character where I'm doing or attempting to do an only items playthrough.
Oh,
so
wow.
The only way I'm willing to attack someone is with an item.
That gets expensive real quick. Consumables
yeah,
are...
How do you get enough cash for that?
It's not easy. So I have summoned in people and just had them kill random enemies. And I'm sure they're like, what the hell, dude? But, you know, I'll pull in a summon and then just kind of run around to all the different enemy spots rather than dashing straight for the boss like everyone expects me to do. Mm-hmm. And so I've got a lot of souls that way. There's been some really kind of being inventive moments where I've managed to like walk enemies off of ledges. It's all about only throwing a knife or a firebomb when you absolutely have to.
Yeah.
And so you get really good at dodging and running around. And I've only gotten past the first boss, but it definitely came to the point where, on the last giant, I ran out of daggers and my summons got killed and I had to homeward bone out in the middle of the boss fight and start over.
I would fucking hate to be summoned by you.
Well, and I hope by, cause I try to contribute. I don't just, you know, stand off in a corner. I try to contribute to the fight and, you know, throw knives and hopefully my hope is that someone who's paying a little bit of attention can understand what I'm trying to do. Cause I don't have, I'm not using a shield either. That's mm-hmm. the other thing is, I tweeted about it in Brian Wade, I believe.
Yeah.
Was like, hey,
noted
I've been,
cool guy, Brian Wade.
Yeah. Noted cool guy, Brian Wade. Was like, I've been toying around with the idea of doing that. I'm like, let's make it happen. And he's already through like Last Giant, Dragon Rider, and seven other bosses. So he's got a handle on it in a way that I just haven't reached yet. But that's kind of fun to be doing it with someone and comparing notes and asking, okay, what's the right item to use? But
he actually ricochets the knife so that it kills like 10 guys in one
yeah.
throw.
How'd you do that? But so hopefully people are able to kind of pick up on what I'm doing when I summon them in. But it's been fun. It has not been incredibly frustrating. I don't think I've died yet. Totally. I would have assumed I'd have died a lot, but I've not had to use a human effigy yet, and I've been summoning lots of people in, so I have not yet died on my challenge playthrough.
Hmm.
Yeah. Go figure.
Neat.
Yeah. And then I will talk more about the new Star Wars pinball tables when I've got more time to dedicate to it.
Okay.
It's kind of funny now that I've bought both DLC packs, I've realized that there is an evolution of your relationship with pinball tables, or at least the ones in this game, which is it starts out of, oh, this is so cool, all this new stuff is happening, you know, pretty lights, this is awesome. And then it's like, this table makes no sense, I don't know how to do well on it, and it sucks, it's poorly designed. And then you're gradually like, oh, okay, I get the actual concept behind this table. I see how this is different. I understand how to work it to get the highest score. And then you really, you know, really start to like it. So I'm at the point where I'm in that, this sucks, I don't understand any of these new tables, this is not the old stuff phase. So once I get out of that, I'll be able to talk much, much better about them.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's pinball and it's Star Wars and it's awesome.
Yeah, I'll be interested to hear about that because I don't understand pinball for shit. So, yeah.
Oh, I would love to see my hours played. I don't know if it tracks that, but actually, no, I know it does. So I can look individually at each table to see hours played. I might have to add that up sometime.
Oh, well, don't do that. It'll make you very sad. It'll make you very sad to do that thing.
Or very happy.
Yeah.
I'm doing what I love.
Yeah. True. Just. You know, taking a tangent off of Dark Souls 2 there for a second. I bought the PC version of Dark Souls 2 because it was on sale for like $35.
Oh, cool.
At a place at around the time that it launched. And money is no object. And it's like playing an HD remake of a game that came out 2 months ago. I can't think of a better way to put that. But yeah, it's a little bit disorienting to have it running at that high of a frame rate at that high of a resolution.
That's funny.
Same game, though. I'm looking forward to what mods come out, but
is it out for Mac yet?
It's not going to be a Mac game.
I mean,
at the moment. Now you know how I feel. yeah, David, how about you? What you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Fallen London. I don't know. I'm going to be brief, kind of just hit the high points. I've apparently become some sort of mob boss. I now have my own, like, gang of, criminals that, can do my bidding and, pull off heists, and I'm, a member of a, you know, fraternal organization with all the movers and shakers in the city, so if the law starts getting on my case, I can just go talk to the chief of police and get him to stop.
Nice.
So, that's kind of a thing, and then, it's really, as far as I can tell, the stats approximately go from like 100 to 200, or rather from 0 to 200, with 100 being kind of the big gateway where things kind of start, you know, their downward slide into the end game. And I'm at about 130 in some of my stats. And the game's really starting to kind of get to the payoffs where a lot of the kind of sub-stories and secrets and things like that that have been hinted at or you've been investigating throughout the game, you're really starting to actually get real answers to, or, you know, they're starting to kind of reveal some of the plot twists and things like that. So that's actually been really cool, very, very rewarding.
Hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. Although in this world, I'm currently investigating a murder at the university, and it appears that the way the murder was pulled off is that in this universe, there's a species of killer spider that can teleport between mirrors.
Oh, good. Good. Which,
so basically combining my two phobias.
Yeah. So somebody read a book bound in human skin that had a rough illustration of you, like, branded into the cover of it in a far off library in a mystic land, and just inserted that into your life, knowing that deep dark eldritch knowledge of you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's a thing, but. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. Their new game should be going, I think it's like June 9th. They're trying to do a early access on Steam. Hmm. So that's something they're also kind of gearing up for that.
For which game, Fallen London?
No, this is Sunless Sea.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. The one they kickstarted.
Kind of their,
yeah.
Their gothic FTL.
Yeah.
Cool.
Huh. Is that everything?
That's the main things. I reinstalled Lone Survivor. I'm vaguely playing through that.
That's a good game.
I've got on my backlog now.
The way that you asked, "Is it?" means that your answer is no.
Well, no. No, honestly, not that, but it's... For me, like, I would say survival horror games in general, and I would say especially games that tend to, like, trade very highly on surrealism.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like, right now, you know, the game doesn't really feel the need to explain itself much. And it's sort of, for me, it's like, I'm not sure yet if it's going somewhere with that.
So you're not sure if it's you know, playing on things that'll be explained later, or if it's just garbage.
Right. Yeah. Like I can't tell some of the things it's doing that just are weird and that I don't quite understand. If it's just not explaining itself and just is being random, or if it's, you know, actually, you know, speaking riddles so that later on I'll be like, oh, that's what he meant.
Yeah, so I hate to be the person who says you're doing it wrong, because everybody, you know, like, they're playing with the box is valid, right? Like, playing with the box is a valid way to play with something. But to a certain extent, when you engage with, like, that kind of horror game, and this is something that, you know, playing Killer 7, you know, just kind of, like, reminded me of, like, in a survival horror game, especially one that trades on surreality like that, you kind of have to relinquish yourself over to the ride, because it's not going to be about making sense. It's going to be about, you know, the ride that it takes you on, right? Mm, so, sure. Like, it's not about the answers. It's about the questions that it raises for you. Not to speak entirely in cliche, it's the journey, not the destination, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, what I would say is, if that's bothering you, turn off the part of your mind that's treating it like a mystery game and engage it on the terms that it's, like, hitting you with.
Yeah, I guess part of it, and this goes back to a little bit, this is sort of a pet peeve for me in these sorts of things, is the fact that the game makes it abundantly clear that it is judging you, and so that in a very real sense it is the destination.
How?
In terms of it being like, we're going to randomly divine from your actions what ending you get.
Yeah.
So I think it's less about trying to get the ending you want and accept it as a, I'm not going to think too deeply about the consequences, and it'll be more of a personality test. Hey, we think based on your choices, we think you would like this ending.
Yeah.
Rather than,
the psychopath ending because I kill everyone.
Yeah, and that's what the game is trying to say. Not that you are a psychopath, but, like, that is, like, that is the way that you played the game, right? And so, like, you say random, it's entirely not. Like there are criteria that it's playing off of, and it directly calls out exactly what those criteria are too. Like there are instances where it says, like, hey, the more you do this, the more that this kind of thing is going to happen. So, like, the rules of play are actually laid out in a fairly prescribed way.
Sure.
Yeah. So, again, not to be like, hey, you're doing it wrong, Man, I love that game.
Yeah, I mean, so far there's definitely a lot to be given towards. Said for you know, the music is definitely amazing.
Yeah.
The
guy who composed the music, he's a listener.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? Very cool. Well, yeah. The music, I mean, the music's really good. I like. It's weird to me, like, there's not that many. A lot of music for video games is very genre-y,
mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, you know, like, a lot of action, game music I wouldn't just listen to because I'm normally not, well, fairly often for me, but I'm normally not, like, punching people and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, a lot of survival horror stuff, I feel like the music's just, like, let's be incredibly eerie, and so, like, it wouldn't have legs outside of survival horror. Whereas I feel like the music in this is much more, it's just good music that happens to also fit with the theme,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And it does like what a good Silent Hill soundtrack does, which is like make something that is pleasant to listen to, but has kind of that noise and that eeriness and atmospheric kind of quality to it.
Yeah.
So. I need to see. Do I have that? Is that on my list? Are you reading this? Yeah. No. I just need to check my Humble Bundle to see if that is a soundtrack that I've had access to.
Uh-huh. I know they sell the soundtrack. I've seen that. I'm not sure if. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh, holy shit! Okay, everybody who's listening to this, go to humblebundle.com. And you will see that there is a bundle of Image comics up there. If you pay more than the average of $9.93, you can get the first two volumes of Saga. That is a pro read. Like, do that. like that is an incredible deal. I might even just buy that. Let's see here. Holy shit. Yeah.
Wait. For this bundle, now we're going way off the grid. Do you only get the digital versions of it, or do you actually get physical copies?
Digital versions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry. I got a little bit off the beaten path there.
That's a personal preference rather than a value judgment.
Yeah. No, Saga will hold up no matter how you read it because it's fantastic. Yeah. Cool. So yeah, Lone Survivor. that game was responsible for an uptick in my cheese and crackers consumption.
Really?
Because
elaborate.
Well, just part of the game is keeping your hunger meter up, and this was what, summer of like 2012, so I was living up in Woodlawn at the time, and just playing it, the cheese and crackers. So eating crackers will restore a little bit of your hunger. Eating the cheese will restore a little bit of your hunger. Eating both of them is like one of the best things you can do. So there's like a little crafting system. And so I was kind of like, I was playing it, and I was like, damn, you know what? Cheese and crackers sounds like really, really good. So the next time I was at the store, I picked up a little block of Pepper Jack, and I picked up some Wheat Thins, and I was like, oh, hell yeah, gonna get up on these cheese and crackers.
Nice.
Well, and to be fair, that's not just video game logic. Like, cheese and crackers taste totally different than either of them alone.
Yeah. Yeah, so I recommend everybody, if you haven't in a little while, have some cheese and crackers. It's gonna mm-hmm. be great. Yeah.
And then watch out for, you know, zombies.
Oh yeah, you know, watch out for being bound up. There's a reason you eat it on. There's a reason that you eat that on road trips. You guys want to bun it up?
We got two more responses, so can I shoehorn them in at the last second?
Sure.
All right, I'll read quick. Dustin, Nick, this is for you guys. All right, Dustin says, warning, I'm a huge PlayStation fanboy, so stop reading or listening if you're easily offended.
Oh.
I special ordered a huge bundle through GameStop for around $800, which came with a handful of games and an extra controller. I bought the camera and a couple of extra games. Damn, son, on top of that. It wasn't an issue about there being any anticipated titles for the system or not, since I don't enjoy most of the games that everyone else gets excited over. Knack was great. I'm running through New Game Plus, still searching for all the little treasures and upgrades. Oh, that's cool. Need for Speed Rivals is almost platinumed, just grinding away the last couple of trophies. The police chases are as intense as I remember in the first NFS 3. With all the free games and PS Plus indies, I hardly have enough time to play everything that's available, especially when I'm working on Dark Souls 2 and Gran Turismo 6. Platinumed, but still enjoy the online... You are crazy, son. Still enjoy the online gameplay and GT Academy. I've been a PlayStation collector ever since Resident Evil 1. I bought every console, including the PSPs and Vita, because I enjoy gaming on a console so much. I have nothing against PC gaming. I'm just not interested in shooters and MMOs. To me, it's about sitting on the edge of my bed, 2 feet from the TV, totally immersed in the game without the distractions or temptations, playing music, chatting, or having websites open on the side that the PC offers. Very cool.
That is why I never get anywhere any of these games.
We have found a PlayStation fan that's bigger than me. That is impressive.
Yeah, like, is that officially somebody buying a whole bunch of shit as a political statement?
Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing. Again, owning it is pretty, you know, that was probably a pretty shitty thing to say, because calling something a political statement, like, carries a connotation, which I totally don't intend, but, like, saying, like, yeah, I'm a fanboy, I own it. Again, like somebody saying, yes, this is a frivolous way to spend my limited resources on this earth, however, I own it. This person has got it. And
yeah, it's fun to root for a team. Yeah.
You say that like someone who has maybe a little bit of experience.
Moving on.
No, yeah, I think that's also maybe, you know, we've kind of been discussing some of the different niches. I feel like that's definitely one of them, is sort of brand/team loyalty, which I feel like doesn't always get enough play.
Except everywhere.
Well, yeah, I feel like people look down upon it sometimes more than they should.
I think it was unhealthy, and, you know, the asinine fanboy rants and everything like that were bad. The pendulum has kind of swung over to the other side, where it's like, you know, now it's bad to care about one thing over another at all. And you have to be this, I don't care about anything more than anything. Just,
oh, yeah.
And the truth, as always, is somewhere in between. That, you know, like I said, it's fun to root for a team.
Yeah.
As long as I'm not like, or, you know, anyone who does this is not like, oh, the other guys suck, and taking it personally.
Yeah, it's reasonable to like one company's products over another, because there are differences, and you can totally prefer it. I guess when I was like, oh, everywhere, I'm thinking of the worst of everybody.
Yeah, and just, you know, which is the internet. Yeah. So there's a lot of the worst of everybody.
Yeah, so it's a perfectly valid response.
Yeah.
Yeah. Round us out.
Then, yeah, Nick says, Fallout 4 is probably the thing that will convince me to get a PS4. Until then, I'm pretty good with a Wii U, 3DS, and last-gen stuff to play.
Hmm. Is Fallout 4 like an announced thing? Because that would kind of make my day.
Yeah, I think so.
Right?
It was alluded to. I forget if it was confirmed or not, but there was something about, oh, it's taking place in Boston, etc.
Okay, no, I can't remember that. That's going to be interesting. Going to be fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
Again, thank you everyone who responded on at the last minute. That is that's awesome.
Yeah. For real. Can I button it up? So I'm on my Facebook page, and I see over in the trending topics, I think my favorite headline I've ever read, it's hyperbole, you know. I don't obviously mean that. Obviously, like, war in some place ends, that's a pretty good headline to like. but trending item: Beastie Boys. Headline: four monks breakdancing to honor Beastie Boy Adam Yauch.
I actually watched that video. It's
pretty
really
awesome.
Impressive.
It's really great.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh man. So thank you, MCA.
If anyone wants to know just kind of how the sausage is made, when do we know we're done with the show? It's like, oh.
Well, are you asking that as a question?
No, I'm alluding to it's usually about the time that we start watching monk breakdancing videos.
I was going to say, like, that's actually a legitimate question, considering that Ben isn't here to tell us.
Well, he's never given us permission. We're, you know, it's, this has been, okay, so this is a maritime court.
Yeah.
Ben has forced us to put gold fringe on the flags, and therefore we are a ship dry docked in pod law. Oh, we are sovereign podcasters, you guys. Thank you everybody for listening. To level number 60. It has been a fantastic time as always. And thank you again, Noah, for sending us that copy of Sports Friends. I think that generated some awesome discussion, if I can say so myself, in the middle of it.
Yeah. And anyone else who wants to send us free shit,
I will
talk about it on the show.
We don't want to say that out loud.
Oh, sorry. Filter.
Yeah, a little bit. No, it's something that happens from time to time, and we like to call out and, you know, thank people when they do it. And this is, and especially like when he sent that over, he's like, "Oh, I'm totally this developer on a thing that you've heard of, and I want you to have this thing." I was like, "Oh, wow, that is like a highlight." I think what I told him was, "You made my week." So, like,
yeah,
that is something legitimately cool that happened, and it was a great opportunity for us. I'm just sad that Ben couldn't be there for it. But
and housekeeping, I think this is implicit, but we'll always say if we've gotten something from a developer.
Oh yeah,
like
for sure.
That will always be 100% clear.
Yeah, yeah. So don't worry about that. We're not gonna go big time on you. We're not gonna. Yeah. So I'll keep housekeeping minimal because I want to get out of here. But you can like us on Facebook. That is facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. iTunes ratings and reviews are always a gift that you can give to the podcaster who has everything. And if you want to go above and beyond, we have that Patreon account that we mentioned at the top of the show. You can go there at duckfeed.tv/tipjar, duckfeed.tv/tipjar. And there are two options: either shop on Amazon and we get a little kickback, or contribute to our Patreon campaign, help us meet those goals and get sweet rewards, such as getting this show on Tuesday instead of Friday, which means that as you listen to this stuff, it will be one day less out of date.
Mm-hmm.
Only you can protect yourself from Dementors.
Awesome. So thank you guys for recording, and thank you everybody for listening. I've been Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I'm Slade, who says, "Honestly, nothing has yet convinced me of the need to buy either of them." I can't say no to you guys. What can I say? I'm Dennis Furia at DFuria on Twitter.
I'm David Moneysmith at Moneysmith777 on Twitter.
And after we break the chairs down and move the tables out of the way, we're going to hold a session of high contact Tai Chi.
Nice.
Beat the leg. Now it is time for the... the level. Let me take that again. Sorry.
Dude, I hate to tell you, we've been doing it for a couple hours now.
Yeah, we have. What?
Yeah.
No, for 1 hour?
It's only been an hour.
Yeah.
How did we do that?
You're saying it seems like longer.
Yeah, because this is agony, you know. But no, okay.
Hand on the stove.